I get caught up in the spirit on Wednesday, and the Lord began to culminate really a whole lifetime worth of teachings, especially the entire library of the right hand of God, all into one parable, one operation. And I realized the Holy Spirit had been training us from day one for something in each part. Sometime it'd be series, a series would be 50 teachings. Sometime it'd be 20. Sometime it would be 3. But each series, each set of teachings, when the glory of that revelation come, I thought, this is it. And then something else would come, I said, this is it. And something else would come, I said, this is it. But then I realized when he started putting all together, he showed me everything he was teaching was for a purpose, and every part of the teaching was for a reason, and it was designed to unlock the mystery of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a mystery. You can turn over your Bibles to Matthew 13. In fact, that whole parable, Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, talking about the sower sowed the word, the mystery of the word. In fact, I think Sharon brought this out, as the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found. He went and sold all that he had. You have to understand the Father embeds the kingdom in a mystery. He does it for a reason, so the hungry would seek it out. The hungry would search it out. To find the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, which a man found. He went and sold all that he had to purchase the one pearl. It cost everything to find it, but he promises you everything in return. But to understand and operate in the kingdom of God has been a journey for us, because we've had to unlock some of these keys. It's not one key, there's multiple keys, but they all fit together perfectly. Amen? And you have to understand the kingdom of God and how it works. So this parable we're in, I call this the leaven effect. Now, we've taught into this before, but I didn't have the full revelation the way I see it now. And it's really powerful the way this is opening up. So if you'll turn in Matthew 13, verse 11, it said, "Answer said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." If the kingdom of God wasn't embedded with mysteries, we'd already know how to do it. It is a mystery. It has to be understood. The Holy Spirit has to bring forth the understanding of that mystery. And in the case of the kingdom and the fullness of the kingdom, you're not going to get the fullness of kingdom. It doesn't lay around on Main Street, if you noticed that. If it did, everybody in America would be operating in the fullness thereof. But it's there. And it's available. And Jesus said it was available. He said you could bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. He said the 100-fold operation is available. Say available. It'll cost us everything. But it's not just paying the price. I'm willing to pay the price, but how do you pay the price? What do you do? It's not just laying down your life. You can lay down your life as a doormat all day long. But it's how you lay it down. It's how you appropriate. It's the understanding of how to do this. Amen? It's the wisdom. It's amazing to me that when we began a ministry, people don't realize this, but the first 2 years of full-time ministry, all we ever spoke about was wisdom. We created a confessional manual on wisdom. We were pressing into wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. And I really didn't even know what wisdom was at the time. Now I do. Wisdom gives you the innate ability to understand the mysteries of heaven, to bring forth the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. God did us a favor by not letting us run out there and build a ministry, because some of the revelations he'd given us, we could have built a very large ministry out there. Just on revelation alone. I know ministers that had this level of revelation. They got a very large ministry, but he did us a favor by containing us and holding us until we got it right. Amen. Until he was able to cut away the mixture of self-sufficiency and the mixture of human sufficiency and the mixture of what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to cut away the capacity to build that way. Even when you don't know you're building that way. Amen. So you can build on what is pure. The gospel in its purest form doesn't need any help. It just needs, like Catherine Coleman says, your availability. Amen? Doesn't need help from the side of your flesh. It needs all the help from the side of your spirit. Put it that way. Your spirit, man, the gospel needs you. Your flesh, the gospel doesn't need you. Put it that way. Amen? Because sometimes we get the impression that God doesn't need us. But he does. He needs the air on the inside of you. He needs the son, the daughter. He needs the new creation reality inside of you. All right, praise the Lord. That was exhortation. Luke 17:33, it's amazing in one verse, the summation of a lifetime of teaching, especially the last 5 years, without a doubt. It says, another parable he spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, say leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. You have to understand the kingdom of God is a mystery. Amen. The leaven, how the leaven works is a great mystery. The leaven is the catalyst for birthing. Without the leaven, we're not going to get the kingdom in its fullness. We need the leaven. The leaven is going to take your small faith, not I'm going to say small faith, your mustard seed faith, and bring it into mountain moving faith. Now, what the Holy Spirit did, he began to reveal what these 5 components were. You had leaven, you had the woman, and you had the 3 measures. Now, we started teaching into this Wednesday night. The leaven is what we're going to get into today, but the woman is the woman of wisdom. She's the one preparing the bread of life. She's going to do the mixing. That's what wisdom is. Build her house. Hewn out her 7 pillars. She's killed her beast. She's mingled her wine. She's prepared the banquet table. She's the one doing the mixing. It's the woman of wisdom, or the person of the Holy Spirit, as you could say. The Holy Spirit is doing this mixing. He's the one that's going to mix these ingredients. Now, all of this is going to be mixed on the inside of you. Look at your neighbor and say, inside. For the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of God is what? Within you. That's the most miraculous thing God ever did, is he put the kingdom within us. Amen? These 3 measures are super important for this operation. When I originally taught this, I taught these 3 measures as the Holy Spirit, the Word, and Dunamis. But now I see it a little differently. I see the Holy Spirit, the one doing the mixing. He's the one preparing the bread of life. You have to understand God's going to take your faith. God never asked you to have mountain moving faith. He asked you to have what? Mustard seed faith. He did not say to have little faith. Mustard seed faith is not little faith. Mustard seed faith is not no faith. Mustard seed faith has an operation. Actually, multiple operations. Mustard seed faith is one of the measures. Mustard seed faith receives. Say, mustard seed faith hears the kingdom. That's the first one. It receives the kingdom. It receives the word. It receives creative dunamis power. It receives, says receives. They receive the abundance of grace. It receives riches and glory. Faith to receive is a very vital component in this process, because God's going to take what you receive and he's going to put it in a bowl and he's going to mix it in the bowl, and then he's going to add a leaven to it. When he adds a leaven to it, it's going to cause an explosion. It's going to cause an expansion. All this happens on the inside of you. It's the mystery of the kingdom works. And when that expansion happens, that's when you get breakthrough. You go in with one kind of faith, you come out with another kind of faith. You go in with one kind of dunamis power, you come out with another dunamis power. You go in with one kind of word, you come out with another kind of word. When Jesus came on the scene, his word was with power. He spoke and it happened. Everybody's trying to operate in that kind of power. But they don't understand the recipe that makes that happen. There's a recipe. It doesn't start, it starts with a faith. A mustard seed faith is not mountain moving faith, but mountain moving faith depends on the operation of mustard seed faith. What did God say for you to have? Mustard seed faith. When he's finished adding the leaven, you're going to come out automatically with a mountain moving faith. So faith, mustard seed faith, hears, receives, and acknowledges. Then you have dunamis, creative power. Talked about that. Then you have the word. Those are the 3 measures. All of that has to be inside of you. Those measures can't be sitting in your Bible. They can't be sitting in somebody else. They can't be sitting up in an atmosphere. They have to be inside you. That's why we have to, what? Receive the kingdom. That's why you got to know about the kingdom with them. We have three separate series on the kingdom of God within alone. Temple within, unlocking the kingdom within, unlocking the inheritance of the kingdom within, and the kingdom within. We have three different series. The Holy Spirit knew what he was doing. If you're going to birth the kingdom, you're going to have to get in touch with what's going on the inside of you. You have to be aware. You know, people get born again, and they spend their whole lifetime unaware that the kingdom's up inside them. They don't know it's there because they don't know how to get in touch with it. So the kingdom of God is like this woman. Kingdom of God is like leaven. This woman took this leaven and hid it in the three measures. If the three measures are not there, she's not going to hide anything in there. We're trying to get faith without the recipe. We're trying to get mountain moving faith, but we don't have what the Holy Spirit needs to inject the leaven into. When he injects the leaven into it, he's injecting leaven into something that God has used from the creation of the world. Somebody say amen. And he injects that leaven and it causes this explosion. That's what you're looking for. That's how the breakthrough comes. We're looking for breakthrough. And what happens, here's what we do. We start praying for something. And now that happens, so the soul starts its miracle ingenuity. And it starts working it out. And you end up working out your promise. The church is full of people who are working out the promises. Look at it if you don't believe me. Turn the TV on and look at some of the stuff on the TV. And tell me, does that look like the gospel that we preach? So the kingdom of God is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures until the whole was leaven. Now today I want to talk to you about the leaven itself. What is this leaven? What's causing this operation? Teach different parts and how they're functioning and how the Lord's showing me how all this stuff's going and how to pray. We're going to teach all this. God wants you to know how to do this. This is not just bringing forth the kingdom. It'll bring forth a promise in your life. But do you realize that when you're believing God for something, let's say that you wanted to believe God to pay your house off. Now, I'm not talking about you just do working your numbers and paying your house off. That's what you can do. I'm talking about God paying your house off. God getting you out of debt. Some people can work the numbers. Do you know that you do not have to believe God? Let's say you owed $250,000 on your house. You do not have to believe God for $250,000 to pay your house off. That's what people don't understand about faith. You don't have to have $250,000 faith. Do you know that? What you have to have is how does the Holy Spirit get involved with your prayer requests? Christians are the only ones I know that we pray for 40 years and we don't get any, very few of our prayers get answered and we keep on praying. Surely there's something about prayer that we haven't learned yet. Or we would get more prayers answered. I'm talking about big stuff. Kingdom stuff. Maybe there's something we don't fully understand yet. The leaven is what's going to cause you to come out with $250,000 faith. What you're going to go into it with is mustard seed faith. Faith that hears the word of the kingdom. Faith that receives the promises of God. Faith that receives creative dunamis power. Faith that keeps through the process of knowledge. That inside there until a leaven from the kingdom is injected into what you have received. Can y'all hear me today? And when that leaven is injected into that, the Holy Spirit injects a supernatural process of leaven. And when he injects that leaven into those measures, it causes, it's not mustard seed faith anymore. It's mountain moving faith. It's faith that comes out and speaks to the mountain and it moves. It's faith that speaks to the problem. And you've been trying to speak to something. It's not moved because you forgot the process. The Holy Spirit transforms mustard seed faith into mountain moving faith. He does that on the inside of you. I want to talk about that leaven. What is this leaven that causes that miraculous bam on the inside of you? I'm glad you asked. Go to Romans chapter 8. Listen, the enemy would surely like you to put you to sleep just because it's not ever worked for you before. When you understand how faith works, there's nothing, say nothing, impossible. That's just not a Holy Spirit church term. Nothing shall be impossible. He's not asking you to have impossible faith. He's asking you to have mustard seed faith that he injects something into that causes it to move to the realm of impossibility. He does that. 3 or 4 years, we were in the revelation of what we called the born again trail received by our spiritual fathers. Amazing revelation. And that is part of the leaven effect to understand what's going on inside of you. How can you be a sinner saved by grace? How could you presently be a sinner saved by grace and have the kingdom of God inside of you? Well, there's none righteous, no, not one. Then what's up inside you? Is that not righteous? You have to understand those scriptures were not speaking of you. You were a sinner saved by grace, but now you're a son. You understand the nature inside of you. It's been changed, recreated. You're a bona fide son. You're carrying a flesh outfit, that's for sure. But inside is what he's working with. Christ in you, the hope of glory. A new creation has been forged and formed. And I want to talk to you today how the Holy Spirit forged that new creation on the inside of you. And he used the very components of the word, faith, and dunamis power to forge that nature. And he used the leaven effect to forge the nature for the very thing that happened to you. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And look at verse 3. For what the law could not do. Did you know right there, in one verse, he talked about all three laws? When you read the Bible, you need to know which law the Bible's talking about. You have the law of sin and death. That was what Adam and Eve were subjected to at the fall of humanity. They were born in the image of God. They were living in the Garden of Eden. They were subjected to the law of sin and death upon their fall. And that death passed upon all men, Romans 5 said, and all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God because they were born in the state of it. Death was passing whether you liked it or not. I don't care. You're born in that state. That's not the kingdom of God you were born in. He says, now the law of the Spirit of life is a different law. That's a law that the Lord Jesus himself purchased at his death, burial, and resurrection. He purchased that law for your behalf. Now I'm going to say something to you. The law of the Spirit of life is not the Holy Spirit. He is not a law. He is a person. You have to understand if the Holy Spirit, without anything else, if he was the law of the Spirit of life, then every Old Testament saint could have been born again on the spot. If he was that, then all that God had to do is send him and everybody could get born again. The law was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. He purchased a new law. And it was going to be the catalyst by which everybody would pass from death to life. He would use that law as a catalyst to pass somebody from death to life. The Holy Spirit would take that law and do the work of regeneration into the heart of a believer. The law of the Spirit of life had to be purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he purchased in his death, burial, and resurrection. And then you had another law for what the law could not do. That was the law of Moses. All three laws were talked about there. The law of the Spirit of life is what we're going to hone in on today. The law of the Spirit of life is the leaven by which all things in the kingdom release. The law of the Spirit of life requires things for its operation. Don't believe me? I'll show you someone that gets born again and walks back in the world and does nothing. That law will do nothing. Don't feed that law and nothing will happen. If you don't feed the inner man, nothing will happen. You feed him the wrong food and nothing will happen. He'll get religiousized. He requires food. It requires the word. He requires dunamis power. It requires faith. In fact, all three of those, faith, the word, and dunamis power, were utilized with that law to create the new creation on the inside of you. And if he used those three to create the new creation inside of you, he's using the same three to bring forth the kingdom on the outside of you. The first thing is get the kingdom on the inside of you. Say the law of the Spirit of life. When he recreated you, that's what Colossians called Christ in you, the hope of glory. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. He said Christ in you. You remember in Acts? If the law of the Spirit of life was the Holy Spirit, remember in Acts when they said, when they came in Samaria, said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Say that. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They believe. What did they believe? They believed upon the name, said, they believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus. They were born again, but they had not received the Holy Spirit yet. In baptism, Holy Spirit was there creating their spirit, but he was waiting to be received. Amen? Totally separate operation. That's Christ in you when you're born again. That law, listen to this, was so powerful. With you calling upon the name of the Lord one time, activated that law. And it took eternal death out of your spirit just like that. Every one of you remember the day you gave your life to the Lord? I remember I was down in Houston partying. I was living in Austin to come down and party. And I told my mom, I'm going to go to church just to make you happy. I said, I'm going to get it over with. We went to his church, like Lakewood. This church called Lakewood. Long time ago. All of a sudden, he was giving this altar call. And I stood up and I'm like, what are you doing? This is stuff I'm going through in my head. Then I take the death walk down to the altar. You stand up and you take the death walk all the way down. And, you know, there's thousands of people. I didn't get saved with two people. I had thousands of people. You kneel down to God and you get born again. And they get filled with the Holy Ghost the same night. And I'm on my way back to Austin. I'm like, what happened to me? Everybody showed up the next day for a party. I'm like, there's no more partying going on in my house. But I got a Bible. I want you to look at this verse right here. I am a new creature. Something activated that law. What I want to teach you is how to activate it all over again. If it was powerful enough to take your dead spirit and bring it to life, then it's powerful enough to take a promise and bring it to life. It just requires something coming from the inside. But he's using the same things. Law of the Spirit of what? Go to John chapter 5. You don't know this, but God already activated that law once. Translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. Out of death into life in one fell swoop. I wish it was that easy bringing forth the kingdom out of you. He said it's different. He goes, because you're an unbeliever, I didn't require but one thing. You call upon the name of the Lord and believe that he died and call upon his name. That's all the faith that I required of you. But I did require faith. That faith activated that law. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Activated the law of the Spirit of life and bam. Now, he's requiring the same kind of faith. It's a different kind of faith now. Because the kingdom's got to come out of you now. But it's the same thing. It's a law of the Spirit of what? John 5, verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead, say raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Verse 25, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming. Jesus is pronouncing there is a new covenant. Verse 25, and now is the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. He's talking about all of humanity dead. Their dead spirit is going to be awakened. They're going to hear the voice of the Son of God and everyone is going to live. For as the Father hath life in himself, He gave to the Son to have life in Himself. And then the Son, through His death, burial, and resurrection, and purchasing the law of the Spirit of life, was given power to execute judgment. What kind of judgment was He executing? Not the Pentecostal judgment where they point the finger out at you. There's none righteous. Not one. He's executing judgment against spiritual death. The spiritual death you were born in. He executed the judgment with the law of the Spirit of life. As the Father had life in Himself, He gave to the Son to have the life. And now the Son gives you the life. Say the life. The law, it requires them. That life will sit dormant. You get born again, you don't do anything with it, it'll sit dormant. It doesn't activate on its own. It requires elements to activate it. Once you understand what activates that law, you can activate the kingdom. Hallelujah. Preach it, white boy. Go to Colossians chapter 2. When you understand the mystery of faith, the problem with faith, we didn't have the right components. We didn't have the right understanding. We had not fully received what the Holy Spirit's going to utilize to bring that kingdom forward. What I'm trying to show you is the power He utilized at your birth into the kingdom of God is the same power He'll utilize at the birth of your promises. He's using the very same things. Colossians 2, verse 10. And we are complete in Him, which is the head of the principalities in power. Verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism. See, all that took place when He died, you died. Wherein also you are, notice this, you are risen. Say, you are risen through the faith. Say, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. You are risen through the faith of the operation. There's an operation that calls you to path from death to life. There's an operation that's causing your promise to go from dormant promise to the Word becomes flesh and dwells among men. It goes from the Word of God inside to the Word of God that becomes flesh to the Word of power. See the progression? It's a Word received. It's a Word that's given birth. It's a Word that's becomes flesh, and then it comes as a Word of power. He casts out spirits by the Word of His power. Everybody's trying to go there. You don't go to the top. You start here. And you work up. Do what God told you to do, and He'll do the rest. Give Him what He needs. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, and you being dead with your promises, and your promises being dormant, and nothing's happening in your life, God's going to awaken you. But He can take death out of you. I'm quite certain He can fulfill a promise. That was eternal death He took out of you. He hath quickened us together. Say, quickened us. Ephesians 2 said He quickened us together. That quickening is the law of the Spirit of life set in motion. He set the law in motion. It called the quickening. You're quickened out of death into life like that. Say like that. Pass from death to life. Nobody in here has to tell you what that looks like. You know what that looks like. You know what it feels like because you know what happened to you. That quickening effect was that law that was set in motion. He wants to set that motion, that law in motion again, but He wants to set in motion concerning our promises, our prayer request. What does that law need to be set into motion? It is the leaven. It doesn't get set in motion. You don't just get born again. You got to do something. A dead Christian's got to do something to activate. Somebody that doesn't know the Lord got to call upon the name of the Lord. Right? Go to Romans 10. Let's look at the three measures as they pertain to your birth in Christ. If they were there, they're going to be there for the resurrection of your promises. If He can resurrect your eternally dead spirit, He can resurrect the promise. We are so at the door. Man, I'm excited. Already working it on the inside. The kingdom of God, you can write this down as the incubation chamber of the Holy Spirit. It's where he'll incubate the promises. The Lord says, I'm going to teach you and those intercessors how to carry 50 things at one time on the inside of you. Once you understand this, you'll understand. Amen. Don't miss this one. This one will change your life. This is that kingdom where he said, all things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. So we lay our life down for the kingdom and nothing gets added. He said, everything you would have sought in lieu of my kingdom will get added to you freely. I'm like, where is the addition? I see the subtraction. I see division. But where's the addition? Where is all the adding? I see us adding things, but where is the adding? Because I know if I would have spent my life out there, I could accumulate it. Where's the stuff you're going to add? That wasn't he was just saying, laying your life down. He's saying, seek first in your life. Put the highest priority in understanding how my kingdom works. Instead of going back and fulfilling your own kingdom, set the priority of your life to understand how my kingdom works. And all those things that you would have added to yourself, I'll add them freely to you. That's what he meant. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's pretty good. Romans 10. Ready? He's going to talk about getting born again here. Now I want you to look at verse 17 first. So what? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word. Look at 14. How shall they call upon whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word. The first introduction to faith is what I call hearing faith. Then you got receiving faith, and then you've got acknowledging faith. We'll get into that later. Right now, I want to show you what happens to a believer that calls upon the name of the Lord. The first introduction is, what did I say the three components were? Dunamis, faith, and the word, right? They go into the activation process. Once they're present, the Holy Spirit activates the law of the Spirit of life on the behalf of an unbeliever, and he causes their spirit to pass from death to life, translates the eternally dead spirit and translates into life. It's called quickening. Immediately he quickens. Now, if he did it with those, he's going to do it for your promises as well. Amen? Look at verse 6, Romans 10, sake of time. The righteousness which is of faith, say of faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in that heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above, who shall descend in the deep. The righteousness of faith says what he did was enough. The law has been purchased. You don't need to bring him back down again. You don't need to bring him back up. What he did was enough. The law is enough. I'm not talking about the law of Moses. I'm talking about the law of the Spirit of life is enough. Say it is enough. It's enough. You don't have to add to it. That's why he was telling them, you don't have to add the law of Moses to this. This law of the Spirit of life is enough. You don't have to bring him back down. There's no more works to be done. How much work did you do to get born again? How much work did you do to get born again? You didn't. How much work are you going to do to get your promises into the earth? It's not coming out of that side of you. Look at verse 8. What saith it? What saith the faith speaketh on this wise? What does faith say? So faith is present in this process. It says the word is what? The word? Did you say the word? Is nigh thee. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Even the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that he raised him from the dead, what? You should be saved. What's present here? How do they hear without a preacher? So faith cometh by hearing. So you have hearing faith present. Faith is present. Say faith. And the word is present, right? Those two are present. And the operation of God, that the Holy Spirit takes those two. He can't operate without them. If someone doesn't come and give him the confession, to hear the word, confess that they believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and they receive that, if they don't have that present, he cannot enact, initiate the law of the Spirit of life on someone's behalf. They must give him that. Do you see that? They must give him faith, and they must speak it from their mouth. And they must hear that word. So you have to have word and the faith present for that law to be activated. When that law activates, it's the leaven. Say it's 11. That causes an immediate reaction in the kingdom. I'm going to show you dunamis is present. Well, this is my first close. Go to Ephesians 1. The law of the Spirit of life is still up on the inside of you. The law of the Spirit of life is the leaven that the Holy Spirit's going to use to activate your promises. But he can't do them. He can't do that if you don't give him what he needs. That's what people don't understand. Well, he'll just do it for me. He'll give you a miracle. But that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about the kingdom of God on purpose, flowing by people who understand its operation. Amen? Ephesians 1. Are you ready for this? Verse 15 is the first prayer Paul prayed. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and the love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom is a necessity to understand the kingdom of God. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is a necessity. If you're not operating by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, we're not going to get anywhere. The eyes of understanding be enlightened, so that you may know, say you may know. Now you underline that, you may know. That you may know. What does he want you to know? Wisdom, revelation, and the eyes of your understanding are getting enlightened by the spirit of wisdom and revelation for one purpose, that you may know. There's something he wants you to know. Look at your neighbors that he wants you to know. He wants you to know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and, say and. And he wants you to know something else. And. Are you ready for the and? What is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis, say dunamis power? He wants you to know by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, by the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, what is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis power to us word who believe, say to us word. He wants you to know it. The exceeding greatness of his creative dunamis power. According to the working of his mighty strength. So he wants you to know what the exceeding greatness of his dunamis power to us where to believe. Look at verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. He worked this same creative dunamis. Don't miss this. He worked this same creative dunamis power in Christ. He wants you to know this exceeding great power that's working inside of you. He worked in Christ. He originally worked in Christ. When he raised him from the dead, he used dunamis, creative power, in the raising of Christ from the dead. He used the exceeding greatness of creative dunamis power when he raised Christ from the dead. And he wants you to know it because it's working inside of you. Because by the time he gets to chapter 2, he says, and you has he quickened the same way. He raised Christ from the dead by dunamis. He raised you from the dead by dunamis. And he wants you to know the exceeding greatness of this dunamis that's working inside of you. Because when you hear the word of the kingdom for the first time, and you employ faith, the confession of your faith is that I believe that God raised him from the dead. The Holy Spirit says, that's what I need. You have the word. You have faith, and I'm going to bring this exceeding great dunamis power that was used to raise the Lord Jesus himself from the dead. And I'm going to add that, and I'm going to quicken you
Say quicken. And you had he quickened together. He quickened them together. Say quickened together. All three of them were used and employed by the law of the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit took the leaven of the law of the Spirit of life and he took those three measures and he quickened your dead spirit and brought it to life just like that. You don't even know, but the recipe of God was used in your birth. The recipe of God was used in the birth of creation. It was utilized in the birth of the Son of God himself. It was utilized in the birth of Isaac. By faith, Sarah received creative dunamis power. Mary was overshadowed with the Holy Ghost and creative dunamis power, and that holy thing was born in her. And this is the very thing he's going to use to bring forth the promises of God or a simple answered prayer on your behalf. He wants you to know the exceeding. Father, I thank you for the exceeding great dunamis power that's working in us. Say, working in us. By the time you get to chapter 3, and God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to his dunamis power that's working in us, according to his word that's working in us, according as a mustard seed faith is working. When we get these three working together, mustard seed faith, and we get dunamis working, and we get his word working, we get them all up inside by receiving faith. When you stand praying, believe that you what? Receive. You receive the image of what you're praying for. You receive the word for what you're praying for. You receive creative dunamis power. All that's an operation of mustard seed faith, and you hold it and keep it. You keep it there until the Holy Spirit takes what you have received and emerges. And he initiates the leaven process. And he takes the very law of the Spirit of life that calls you to path from death to life. And he initiates those three measures, activates them with leaven, and causes an explosion on the inside of you. Now we're talking about the kingdom of God coming out of you. Then, as the believer, all you had to do is hear a message. Now God requires faith to keep his word, faith to receive, faith to hold, faith to understand. And he requires it, and then the Holy Spirit's going to take that law, that initiation of that leaven, and it's going to cause the promise to go like this. When it does, your answer is on its way. The transformation of your life and our life is on its way. And there's nothing we can't believe God for. Like Chuck started the day, my God shall supply all, say all, of your need according to the riches in his glory. That's how it's coming out of heaven to you and through you. I don't have to be responsible for what's on the other side of my faith. I have to be responsible for what's working inside of me. The Holy Spirit's going to inject the leaven. And when he does, dunamis is going to come in working on the inside. It's going to come out and dunamis flowed out of him and he healed them all. Faith's going to come in working as a seed. It's going to come out and he cast out spirits with his word, faith. And he spoke to the mountain. You could say to the mountain, be not removed. It causes the transformation. What you put in is not what's coming out. It goes through this metamorphosis of this leaven effect, and it comes out the God kind of faith. It comes out with a word of his power. It comes out with dunamis flowing out of you like rivers of living water. The mystery of the kingdom. That's why the enemy cometh immediately. Why do you think he comes immediately for the word? Not, he doesn't wait. He comes immediately. Look around you. Why isn't this place full? People hearing this kind of thing. He would much rather hear how great they are in the flesh. He does not want you to hear this stuff. He cometh immediately to steal. Why? Because he knows if he takes the word, he's taken the very component out of the birthing process. And that leaves you with you now. And he's quite capable of managing us. He just can't manage what's inside of us. That's why your warfare has been extreme. Because he's coming after the component
the Holy Spirit utilizes. Transform. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Glory to God.